You must be loony. Now, I'm sorry, it's politically incorrect, isn't it, to call anyone a loony? But that was the word used to me. Other people who take exception to my faith are rather less blunt. Oh, come on, you can't believe in fairy tales. Or rather more complimentary. You're an intelligent woman, Enid. How can you believe all that stuff? Very often in the Bible, we refer to the natural world to learn things about God and his kingdom. And it's often to creation that I turn. People try to shake my belief in God. And I should just remind you, we're in that lovely season that's now being called Creation Tide, and we're approaching the feast of St. Francis on the 4th of October, who is the patron saint of environmentalists, as Sue and I well know. Creation is amazing. I cannot believe that there's no purpose to it, that it's just some accident. Moreover, because it's so wonderful, it seems to me there must be a good and mighty creator behind it, the being we call God. It is to think otherwise that I find irrational and insane, not loony. There are so many aspects to creation, animal, vegetable and mineral, that are awe-inspiring, from the millions of stars in the sky, as we heard in the psalm, to the tiniest living organism. In our reading, Jesus points his followers to plants as a proof of the Creator's brilliance and care. Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labour or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. So today, we celebrate harvest, when our Thanksgiving focuses particularly on plants. And probably we think primarily of plants as providing food, as we see here, and beautiful flowers for decoration. We honour God with the lovely flower displays in church. We bring gifts of food, most of it plant-based, to share God's bounty with others. But I'm going to consider for a moment or two just one plant as an example of God's creative genius. This is a plant, I hope you can still hear me as I move. I'm sure you know what it is, girls, I hope you do. It's a plant that's not necessarily thought of as particularly decorative or useful, but if you touch it, you'll know it's a stinging nettle. So I'm going to talk about nettles. Rather than considering the lilies, as it might have been, it's considering the nettles. I think they're a wonderful, versatile demonstration of God's ingenuity and bounty. And that ingenuity and bounty is so often found in unexpected places. Now, if we can get the slides to work. Yeah. Nettles support beautiful butterflies, being host to the caterpillars of comma, peacock, red admiral, and painted lady butterflies. And thus they're not only helping to make the countryside beautiful for us to look at, but they're providing an essential link, an element in the food chain of wildlife. Nettles can actually be used as human food. I don't know how many people know that, but you can use nettles like spinach, and I think people did in the wartime. And they make a lovely soup. Now, to prove that point, I'm hoping that our curate will be brave enough to try some nettle soup, which is why I checked you had no food allergies. And anyone else who wants to try some afterwards is very welcome. How's that?
Steve, are you ready for...
I've got something for... further service. Where's Steve? I've got something for him later.
Yeah, it's delicious. Definitely.
Is that okay?
Lovely.
I had some this morning. I'm not dead, so yeah. Not yet. Now, you can also make nettles into tea. Where's Steve? Has he gone into hiding? Can't see him. Ah, there you are. Wise man to hide. I know you like all sorts of strange, what I call wacky teas. I hope people don't misunderstand that. There's nettle tea for you. Come on, it's good for you. It cleanses the blood. No, not your favourite.
Not my favourite.
But you can...
Okay, okay.
You can buy it from health food stores. Promise you, it's good for you. Maybe you'd have preferred some nettle beer. There you are. There's a recipe for those who want to make it. Or I'm hoping Chris will try this one for me. That's not nettle tea, is it, Chris?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Right, thank you. You see, somebody appreciates. Now, you're going to appreciate this. And I'm sure, as a gardener, you know what I've got here. But it does smell. Keep back, everybody.
Manure?
It's nettle food plant food.
Yep.
So nettles are... Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think the wardens may have to take that out soon, but you can all have a smell later. Brilliant food for plants. It's full of nitrogen and phosphates, and it's cheap. Free, actually. Apparently, people used to use seeds in horse feed to make the horses have glossy coats. I haven't got a horse, but I would have tried if I had. I'd have brought it with me, even. Like many plants, nettles have lots of medicinal uses. And again, there we are. Nettle leaf capsules. Nettles can apparently cure lots of painful things like rheumatism, arthritis, gout. They're good for asthma. They're good for a whole range of illnesses. And, as we had a preview, there are nettle hair tonics. Couldn't find one. I tried to buy one to show you, but I promise you I didn't. Actually, I meant to wash my hair in nettles this morning, but I didn't. Nettles can make paper. They can make a natural dye. End of slides. And something I've only discovered very recently is that the fibres of the stalks are very flexible and very strong. And you... In times past, people used to make sort of rope and cordage out of these. I don't know if you girls can try. I made those with my grandchildren, but that's made from nettles. It won't sting you, don't worry. Have a pull at that. We made nettle bracelets. It's strong, isn't it? Yeah. So, nettles. Sorry, I've just got very interested in nettles recently. And it is relevant, I promise. Nettles are just one plant. A small miracle. And nettles are only one species out of the many flowering plants in the world. There are 400,000, I hope no scientists are going to correct me, flowering plants. This is just one miracle out of the vegetable part of creation. We haven't even thought about animal or mineral. What does this say to us and how does it relate to our reading? Surely creation is a proof that God exists, that he is amazing beyond the comprehension of our limited minds. But it appears, as the criticisms I had showered on me, that many people in the 21st century feel that human beings are so clever and so advanced that they do not need to rely on a being called God anymore. They are self-sufficient and can manage quite well without his help. Well, I think not. The rich fool described in verses 16 to 20 of our reading clearly thinks he is very clever and self-sufficient. He can store up goods far beyond what he actually needs and without a care for others. And then he will have a jolly good time. He will have a long life ahead of him. Well, no, God has the final word. The man dies before he has time to take life easy, to eat, drink, and be merry. In the 21st century, this is still true. The Creator God is far more powerful and far more clever than we can understand. In the end, he is in control and we cannot cheat him. But God is also caring. Jesus makes the point that if God can be so generous in the way he feeds the ravens and clothes the wild flowers, surely he can be trusted to provide for us, his children, those made in his image. He has provided in creation all that we need for our well-being. However, we have to work with God for his kingdom. One of the problems with the rich fool was that he only worked for himself. He does not appear to have given thanks to God or given anything to others. Towards the end of today's reading, I'm not sure if we got to these verses or not, but Jesus says, do not worry. Don't worry about material things, but seek God's kingdom. And this is amplified in verse 33 of chapter 12. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. If the rich fool had been less keen on his own comforts and more interested in sharing what he had with others, he would have gained something truly valuable, treasure in heaven. The lesson for us is equally not to be primarily concerned with our own needs, storing up far more than we need, but to give to others. Harvest is a time when this is particularly emphasized. As churchgoers, we bring gifts of food for those in need, and we thank God for the harvest. But it's something we need to think about all the time, to remember to thank God for what we have to eat and drink, and to give in either cash or kind to those who might go hungry. In creation, God has provided ample resources for everyone, but the sad fact is that a minority of the world's population consume most of the world's resources, while billions of others are left to go hungry and without the bare necessities of life. Jesus instructs his followers not to worry, but rather to trust in God. And I have to say, I find this a hard one. I'm an inveterate worrier, as my husband will confirm. And I've even been known to worry if I can't think of anything to worry about, because I'm fairly sure I've missed something, so I worry about that. But I know worrying's futile, and it's destroying. Jesus tells us that worrying is futile. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about all the rest? How very true this is, but how difficult to follow. I don't think it means we don't ever have to take any positive action or take responsibility. But it does mean we need to be far more trusting in God. I'm sure if you think through the Bible, there are numerous examples of people who trusted in God being miraculously provided for. Moses, trusting in God, was able to see the waters part and lead the Israelites through the Red Sea. Elijah, in hiding, was provided with food by ravens. Peter had a miraculous escape from prison, and Paul was saved from what could have been a fatal shipwreck. Coming right up to date, Mark Tate from the Gurnall Grove Missional Community spoke only a few months ago here about an outreach project they were planning, which nearly floundered because the cost had escalated and they couldn't afford it. But as a group of prayerful people, they trusted in God, and lo and behold, they suddenly received a grant. It met the deficit, the project went ahead, and it was very successful. I'll just give one recent example from my own life. I'd been worrying, as I do, about a family issue, which I do, which was causing a lot of tension. I prayed about it and asked for prayer ministry here, and suddenly the matter was sorted without any action on my part. I'm sure if you think about it, you can think of examples from the Bible, in your own lives, and from in the lives of others, where God has provided quite unexpectedly sometimes, and sometimes in the ways we least expect. And I think others who were at the PCC away day yesterday will bear with me that this theme of trusting in God to lead and to provide was very much at the heart of our discussions. So, in summary, God in creation has provided a wonderful world to meet our needs. Rather than think that the human race is now too clever to need him, we must recognize and honor God as the ultimate power and the source of all good things. We must not be greedy, but do all we can to ensure that the world's resources are shared justly. And we need to learn to trust God more, rather than focus and indulge in destructive worrying. We'll be singing a hymn shortly take it to the Lord in prayer. And I suggest that it's far better to take our concerns to the Lord in prayer and not to worry.